Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast, a space where we will be revealing what is it that is getting in the way of our potential as human beings, as a species, diving into a deep inquiry into body, mind, consciousness, our way of being on the planet today, and our current relationship with our reality and with reality itself. My name is Nikki Clinch. I am your host. I will be sharing the science, research, and evidence, and coming into this podcast from the paradigm of ontology, looking at why you are the way you are, not as a you problem, but looking at it from the context of a human problem. This is not about you. This is about being human. My intention is that in this podcast, you will discover so many blind spots that are running you and your life and how reality is unfolding, and that you can start to experience yourself as part of the human species rather than just an individual stuck in a story trying to solve your own problems. This is the time now on our planet to remember and embody and realize our infinite potential as a species. If you want to dive even deeper beyond this podcast, you can download our 21 Days of Expansion, 21 powerful body-mind ontological activations, meditations, for you to be able to work with your own rewiring and neural pathways to be able to create a fundamental shift in how you experience yourself, how you experience your reality, and the way in which you are a co-creator in the world that you are getting. So just hit the link below to download 21 Days, and that can be yours starting now. But for now, let's dive into this podcast, The Infinite Potential of Being Human. I am so excited for you to explore and inquire and receive all the teachings and richness and education of the episodes ahead. Thank you so much. I'm Nikki Clinch. I'm delighted to be here with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. It's wonderful to be back here with you this week, and welcome to all our regular listeners and to all our brand new listeners. This podcast is spreading far and wide, and it's actually shocking me a little bit by how fast it is spreading and how many people it is reaching. And also, I'm not surprised because I know that it is currently still a rarity to be able to be part of an inquiry at a conversation where we're looking at the things that we are struggling with in our lives, but we're able to look at it and investigate about it and inquire about it from a human being level. It's almost so obvious that we miss it. I mean, how often do we really live on this planet in the actual living of our lives, remembering that we are part of the same species? Not that often. We know it as something cool to remember, but how often do we actually experience the unity of that, the union that comes with that? The wholeness that comes with that. I just led a training yesterday, and I was teaching about what I was teaching about from an ontological paradigm. And as always, most of the people in the training had never heard of ontology or even maturation. And many people were saying, oh, I feel really seen. I feel really seen. How is it that you as an individual suffering from your individual problems, trying to solve your individual life, feels so seen when we take it completely off the personal and we look at who you're being from an ontological paradigm? Why? Because it reminds you even for a millimoment that you are part of the species, that actually you're not out there on your own. You are part of an entire pack. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, I don't have to solve my problems because it's just a human problem. It means that when you're just trying to solve your problems from an individual context, from a me context, from a my world context, from this is a me problem, you will find regular and repeated limitations to that. But when we zoom right out and we look at what's even at the root to the problems and running the problems and driving the problems and seeing that it is in fact not you, but it's a human design, it's a human problem, that when we start to see ourselves and our lives and our struggles from the context of the design of the being of human being, it opens a whole nother set of possibilities in order to solve those problems. In fact, it gives us a completely new domain from which to stand and therefore to see. It gives us a paradigm shift. We can't keep looking for new answers to the old questions. We have to ask new questions from a new paradigm to give us new answers, new possibilities. And really, that's the intention here. The intention is to ask questions from a new paradigm that you can still integrate into the context of your problems and your life, but you'll be looking at it and asking the questions from a different place, which may, my intention is that it does, open up a whole new set of possibilities for you. That's what we're doing here. That's certainly my intention, or at least the beginnings of what we're doing here. Really, the invitation is that you hear these episodes and that you are ready to step into your maturation on a much deeper level. And we have many, many programs that we can facilitate you through that very, very deep work. But at least, at the very least, let this podcast be the door that opens. The door that opens to a new way of seeing, a new place to see from, and a new possibility for yourself and your life. So today I want to dive into, I think, can be a very charged topic, but, you know, an important one to look at because it's something that we have to deal with in order to live this life, in order to play the game of life. I want to use this episode to really dive into an inquiry and a conversation around our relationship with money. In particular, I want to create the distinction for you here in this episode of how our relationship with money directly and identically mirrors our relationship with intimacy, which may or may not be something that is new for you to hear and discover. And some of you may be hearing that going, what? Don't be ridiculous. My relationship with money has nothing to do with my relationship with intimacy. Well, let me ask you, those of you who may already be thinking that and your mind is already thinking that, my invitation for you is, at the very least, stay in this conversation with me for the next 30, 40 minutes. Allow yourself to receive the conversation experientially. So if there's a lot of activation in your body, if there are things that are moving, it starts to feel very uncomfortable, don't shut down, don't run away, don't push it away. In fact, my invitation is for you to let the uncomfortability move through you and stay. At the very least, try this on before you reject it, because you may or may not see something that has been in a blind spot. And that, of course, is my intention for you. Because whatever is blind is running your life. Whatever we bring consciousness to, whatever blind spot we are able to dissolve, gives you power. It gives you a lot more power. And power is what we need more of in order to start being able to have conscious choice over how we're being and who we're being, and therefore how we are living our life. So it's kind of important. And I don't mean the kind of power that is forceful or physically strong or dominating, which actually is a very toxic, fear-led, trauma-led relationship to power, which is actually, unfortunately, what we've been modeled much more of in our society today. I don't mean that kind of power. I mean power led from beyond trauma. I mean the kind of power that becomes available to us that allows us to create change, that allows us to shift our entire way of being, that allows us to be both the participant and the facilitator of our reality and of our world and of our life. Wow, that's like a whole nother level of power. And it's interesting that I'm even speaking about power because I think that the reason why money is such an activating topic for many, particularly in the spiritual world, money is such an activating topic because it is so entangled with our relationship to power. And that's exactly where I want to go with this episode. It's all connected. So let me begin by diving into an inquiry with you of why money is and can be so triggering. Firstly, money, sex, and food, I see from working with a lot of people, are the three most triggering topics that there can be. Why? Why is it that money, sex, and food are so activating? Well, if you think about it on a deep human being level, they're all really, really tied in with need, deep need, and in essence, a need to survive. Food is directly connected to our need to survive. Quite literally, when I breastfed my children, when they were receiving their food, it was also entangled and connected and tied in with their receiving of connection, their receiving of mother, their receiving of bond. And when a baby is receiving that way, mother is not just mother. Mother is the child's entire world. The same with sex. Sex is entangled with our creativity, our life force. Sexual energy is the life force that starts to develop even from the age of 5. The vitality, the energy that creates life, aliveness. And it's so connected with need, the need to be able to be fully expressed, the need to be able to be fully alive, the need to be able to be fully here. And then there's money. Money is tied into a deep need to survive. And that deep animalistic human need, that human hunger to have enough, to belong, to fit, to be part of the pack, to be validated, to have power to create and live your life. So you can hear it's actually a really deep and activating topic because as soon as anybody really starts to look at their relationship with money, it activates, even unconsciously, will activate whatever is there for you around your relationship with need and having enough. So it may bring up intense rage and anger and resentment and blame and a need to fight or battle, or it may bring up enormous levels of shame and panic and fear and worthlessness. Regardless, it brings up whatever is there unresolved in your original relationship with intimacy. Your original relationship with intimacy, our original relationship with intimacy, is shaped by our original relationship with our authority roles, which is usually mom and dad. In fact, it is mom and dad. So even if you were brought up without mom and dad, your relationship with mom and dad is that they're not there and they left you, or they're not present and you can't find them. There's the roles in our world of mom and dad are the pivotal authority roles from which we first come into the world with. In fact, for a child, mom and dad is not they're not authority roles. They are the whole world. In fact, they are our relationship with the world because they are the world. It's only at a certain stage of brain development that a child even starts to distinguish that there is anything other than mom and dad. So for the first few years, yeah, I would say that's relatively accurate, or at least the first year, or at least the first 6 months, mom and dad are world. Well, mom is world for the first 6 months, and then dad starts becoming part of world. So our relationship with these two authority roles is what shapes our relationship with world, which is intimacy. Our ability to connect or not connect and relate to the outside world, to others, to the other. And that's why it's so triggering. Our relationship with our authority roles is defining and shaping our relationship with power, safety, need, longing, hunger, survival. A child's animalistic need and longing to be seen and wanted and loved and to belong by mom and dad. That's not a romance story. It's animalistic. If we are not wanted and accepted and loved and seen by mom and dad, by the world, we will not make it as children. Just like if an animal gets kicked out or doesn't fit in the pack. I always remember watching that amazing cartoon about a pig. And the pig is the runt, and the runt can't fit in the pack. It's too small. And so its life is at threat. It's animalistic. If we are rejected by mother and father, we don't make it. It triggers a survival response in us that is beyond emotion, that is beyond anything romantic. It is animalistic. And so our entire sense of self is being shaped by the dynamic that we have with these two authority roles, and they are the ones with all the power. It's the imprint of our shaping of our relationship with power, which is outside of ourselves. We are in this deep need. They have all the power. And whatever we're learning from them and in this dynamic with them and from them is giving us our relationship to power. So money is entangled with the relationship to power. There's something that is outside of ourselves that has been given all this meaning and story that whoever has more of it has more power. They get to choose things. They get to buy things. They get the freedom to be able to have choice versus the ones who don't have any of it, who don't get power, who don't get to choose, who don't get to have choice and freedom. But money itself is a story. In fact, if you hold a piece of money up, it's just a piece of paper that somebody put some pictures on and some markings on it and then attached a whole lot of meaning and story to it from which much of society agreed to, consciously or unconsciously. And if you go back and listen to the episode that I speak on about what creates a paradigm, that's what creates a paradigm. If you get enough human agreement to a story, the story doesn't live like a story. The story becomes reality. So currently on our planet, money, the story of money and the meaning and the story put on it, is around power. And there is enough agreement in the collective field that it is part of the current reality of the game of life that we have to play right now. And what is a blind spot is currently our relationship with this story of money is entangled with our relationship to intimacy and power. Let me give you an example. just to kind of help you get this on an experiential level. My relationship with my father. My father left before I was born. I, of course, have no memory, but apparently he came back after I was born and stayed another 6 months, and then he left again. And that time he left for good. My childhood with him was that I saw him once a week from the age of four. But before that, I don't remember seeing him or barely saw him at all. In fact, the entire dynamic and field of my relationship with my father was that he consistently did not want to take responsibility for me. My mother had to take him to court to get him to want to pay for me, to get him to want to be responsible for me as his child. So what is that for me on an experiential level? Because if you go back and listen to the episode on the vicious circle of the human condition, what begins to shape our representation of who we think we are and our sense of self, and therefore how the world appears to us, is an entanglement of experience in the body, entangled with the story that we unconsciously tell ourselves conceptually in the mind. And that becomes a wiring in the neural pathways that gives us a representation of who we think we are and how the world is. So go back and listen to that episode. The experience that I had in the dynamic with my father is that he wasn't there, and I had a deep, deep longing for him to want me, see me, to want to take care of me. It was beyond mind. It's an animalistic longing and need. Please love me. Please see me. Please take care of me. While simultaneously, he was also pulling away all the time and trying to avoid responsibility and trying to avoid being wanting to take care of me. So experientially, what imprinted and shaped in my relationship to intimacy was that I'm deeply longing for it and to be wanted and needed and seen and validated, while simultaneously, when I get it, he already doesn't want me. He's going to leave me. He doesn't want to be responsible for me. Would it be a surprise to you if I told you that that was the identical relationship that I had with money? A deep animalistic longing for more of it. But whenever it came, I already knew it didn't want to take care of me. It wasn't going to stay. I was going to lose it. And so much of my life, at least for like a couple decades, was in this vicious circle of a relationship with money. Now, first things first, we can never have enough of what we never really wanted. We can never have enough of what we never really wanted. There was never going to be enough money to be able to solve the problem of the longing and the need and the want of a young baby wanting to be validated and seen and loved by father. There will never be enough money to take away and solve the paradox of that vicious circle. In fact, it was the only way that I could be in relationship with money, because the only thing that we're in a relationship with is the story about money. And the story about money is entangled and imprinted with power. And our original relationship with intimacy and power is the relationship that we had, the original relationship that we had with our authority roles, which is parents. So can you hear the paradox of that? The paradox that I was in was that there was never going to ever be enough to take away the longing. And even when I received it, it would activate the very pain that it didn't want me, and it would leave me. And then, of course, wherever I was seeing from was creating and generating the reality that I was getting, because that is the nature of reality. And so there'll never be enough. And even when I get it, it goes. And then I'll try and make more. And as soon as I get that, it goes. It's repeating the same cycle over and over and over and over again. And that is identical to how we are with intimacy. Now, I want to say again, what is it that we're actually in a relationship with? We're in a relationship with whatever the story is around the money, which right now, collectively, the story of money is that it's imprinted with power. So if we're not bringing consciousness to the unconscious blind spot and paradox, which is our original relationship to power and intimacy, can you hear how that will just keep getting acted out in our relationship with money? I mean, let's just set the scene here. Imagine giving a 4-year-old toddler millions and millions of dollars. Do you think that 4-year-old would do something epic with it? Or would they play stupid child games with it and be childish with it? And remember what maturation is. It's bringing consciousness to the blind spot that we as a species have been stuck in, which is time. We think that just because we got older biologically, that we matured. No, we didn't. We just got taller. And we also think that the past is gone and back there. No, it's not. It's in your mind right now, shaping everything about what's looking through your eyes and the world that we get. So me saying, what happens when you give a 4-year-old millions of dollars is actually not a joke. Look at the leaders that we have in the world today. Look at what they're doing with money. Look at the 1%. In fact, if I were to say to you now, at this point, if you look at the people who have the 1% on the planet that are running the corporate world when it comes to money, wouldn't you say it looks like a whole lot of children trying to win the battles that they never won with their parents? Trying to dominate and have power and control. And it's like they're so angry with mommy and daddy, and let's take it out on the world now. No one will control me now. In fact, I will make sure I am in control. It's literally like a superhero movie and they're the bad guys. It's no difference. And so most people that I speak to around their relationship with money think that the problem itself is the money. Money's bad. Money's greedy. Money's dirty. No, the problem has nothing to do with money. Money is just a story. The problem is the human beings that have been playing with this story from a childish, unresolved child's place inside a grown-up body, which is actually quite a dangerous place to be. So now we bring in maturation. And we let in the possibility that we as a species start becoming responsible for our own maturation, that we are taking responsibility for what lives in our body mind unresolved in our relationship with mom and dad, that the anger that we never got to express with dad or mom, that we're still playing out in our lives today, that what is incomplete and unresolved and unsolved and unforgiven and unaccepted inside our own body, mind, consciousness with mom and dad, i.e. with intimacy and power, will continually keep playing out in our 3D reality in money and intimacy. But if we are ready to take full responsibility of that, and do our maturation work and make whole where things are unwhole inside our own self, outgrowing our childhood, outgrowing those frozen moments in time that live in the cells of our body mind. Well, then we step into a whole nother possibility. Oh, what happens then when you give millions of dollars to a human being that is mature and conscious and empowered and responsible and behaving with integrity. Wow. Well, that's a different game. That's a different place to stand. I remember after my brain injury, and I had been through such an intense phase of having to surrender everything, including I couldn't remember much of my own identity. And I got so close to God. And I don't mean the religious God. I mean Source. I got so close. I felt like I was sitting with Source. Things got so quiet, so simple. And I rang a mentor of mine and I said, I've decided I'm so close to God. I've decided I don't care about money anymore. And she said to me, well, you better care about money, because unless you start caring about money, you are not going to be able to create the impact that the world needs you to create in this world. Because at the moment, money is part of the game of life. And if we are unwilling to play the game of life, then we cannot create the impact in the life that this world needs. And you're going to need money to do it. Oof. It was like a big smack in the face. And I got really triggered. But after a while, I realized she was bloody right. What good was it for me to sit in a room enjoying this spiritual awakening of peace and liberation and love that was moving through me if I was just sitting in a room on my own, creating nothing in the 3D world? I realized it was all about me. That actually it's when we take those big shifts, internal shifts of consciousness, and then we're willing to take it into the game of life and play the game of life from a new place, from a new paradigm, from a new level of maturity. And so we can actually make it into 3D life. So this is really close and connect to the episode that I did about manifestation and maturation, about paradigm and what creates a reality. Money is not bad. Money itself is just a story. But currently, in the paradigm that we live in, it is part of the game of life. And in order to lead and live from a more empowered field, conscious field, a more mature place to stand and live, it is invited for us to participate in playing the game of life, rather than staying blind and unconscious and having the game of life play us. We could go and meditate in a cave for the rest of our life, or we can make the decision that our real contribution on this planet is to participate in playing the game of life. And money is part of that game of life. And are we going to participate being resentful, judgmental, and taking out all our unresolved stuff towards mommy and daddy onto this thing called money, which is basically just a story? Or are we going to do our work and outgrow our original imprint and relationship to power and intimacy, mom and dad, in order to be able to dance with this part of the game of life, which is called money, and do something different with it, something of real value, something with real impact, something that can create change? So, you know, this is an important topic, really important, because one thing that I'm seeing so much in the people that I'm working with, that they can have huge identity shifts. And in the spiritual community, huge identity shifts, massive metamorphosis, but then not knowing and not able to express that into playing the game of life, where that's where the actual power is. What's the point in having a spiritual awakening if we're not able to take it into being human and living a human life through our human body, playing the game of life to create 3D reality. And then I see the other side. A whole lot of people playing the game of life from an unconscious 4-year-old toddler pain, which I did for a long time. You are not different. I am one too. Hello, welcome to the human race. And so it takes so much humility and love and courage to look at this in ourselves. Remember, this is not a you problem. You're not worse than anyone else. This is a human problem. I too have had to really look at this repeatedly. And the gift of it is when we are ready to look at it and we are ready to be responsible for it, fully responsible, go back and look at the episode on blame and learning. Well, then we start to tap into and access a whole nother level of power, and not the kind of power that's making other people small and dominating and controlling. No, the kind of power that creates change, that serves the planet so that we can bring healing into this world, wholeness into this world, that we can actually shift the way that this world is being created. That's power. That's what's needed right now. And it begins with you and me and each one of us individually, willing to take it on, willing to take on our own maturation so that we can become a more mature, evolved human being that gets to play the game of life. Can you imagine if just 1% of this planet took that on? We would have a different world. So I hope that you have found this episode useful. I have found it useful sharing it with you. Actually, before I say that, let me give you a journaling question. Firstly, as always, just spend a bit of time journaling everything that's come up for you around just listening to this episode, because it will just help you integrate everything and also clear anything that may be charged or activated. And if you are activated, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just showing you what has been there lying dormant around your relationship to money. Are you ready to be responsible for what's coming up through your body? Because that was already there. I didn't put it there. The conversation just nudged it so that it could come up and show itself to you. As much as you need in your journal, just to kind of clear and integrate everything that's come up for you around listening to this. And then question number one, get really specific about your experience, your original experience to your relationship with your authority roles. What was it like? Not what you remember conceptually as a picture. What was it experientially? I always longed for them to be there, but they were never there and they never saw me. And I didn't feel safe. And I was angry that I longed for them, but I couldn't stop longing for them. And then when you write all that down, start to look. Is that how you also dance with money? Just do those questions alone. I think that will be really powerful and impactful. Lastly, just because it's fun, if you were to outgrow this and your relationship with intimacy was made whole and therefore your relationship with money, what could be possible for you and your life? Do some writing about that. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode has served you, please do share it with at least one other person that you think it would help. This is no blame, no judgment in any of this. We are in this together. I am in this with you. This is not a you problem. This is a human problem, but it's also the human solution. It's an invitation to mature and evolve in who we're being and tap into and remember the potential that lies within each one of us to create world. If you find this podcast has been serving you, the best way you can support us in reaching as many people as possible is please do give us a star rating either on Spotify or Apple, or go to Apple and write us a written review. It's really the best way that Apple will start to put this podcast in front of a lot of people. That's called playing the game of life. I want to reach a lot of people so that I can help a lot of people, and I have to play the game of Apple to be able to play the game of life, to be able to realize that intention. So if this podcast is helping you, help me play the game of life to reach a lot more people. If you do want to get in touch with us, share any aha moments, share any insights, then you can write to us, support@nikkiclinch.com, or you can write a comment under one of the Instagram posts that we post about the podcast. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. It's been, as always, such a learning curve for me. You know, I learn a lot just kind of letting the words come out. And I hear myself and I'm like, I'm seeing things at the same time as I'm speaking them. So I'm really grateful to be here with you. Thank you all so much. Thank you for listening to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch and I am your host. That's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with myself, Nikki Clinch, as your host. If you want to ensure that you experience a fundamental shift, not just in how you are living your life, but in who you are being in it, a paradigm shift in who you are being starting now, please download our 21 days of expansion activation process. 21 activations for 21 days of body, mind, ontological activations for you to be able to work with you both in the experiential aspects of your body and the wiring of your neural pathways in your mind. You can own this for the rest of your life and create that shift starting now. From this place, you can discover the infinite potential of being human and the aspects of the power and the aliveness that is waiting for you to discover it and realize it now. So download the link below to access your 21 days of expansion and let us know how those shifts start landing in your world. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with Nikki Clinch. I will see you next week.